This is Pastor Randall Floyd from Clayton Assembly of God in Clayton, New Mexico. It is my privilege and my pleasure each week at this time to bring you the message that was delivered the previous Sunday from the pulpit of Clayton Assembly of God. I hope you will take the time to join in and listen to what God has been saying to the congregation here, because I believe the message really has a much wider and broader appeal than just this church family. Grab your Bible if you can. Sit back and enjoy God's Word today. If you'd like to know a little bit more about Clayton Assembly of God, you can go to our website at www.claytonag.org. While you're there on the website, if you feel led to do so and you'd like to help support the ministry of Clayton Assembly of God, you can click on the donate button, or you can click on the contact page and find the address to simply mail your donation to us. Sit back and enjoy God's Word from the pulpit of Clayton Assembly of God. Stand then with me this morning and find 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. You say, Pastor, that's the text you read last week. You're right. And we're going to be camping in those three verses for a while. I was going to put everything into one sermon this morning and entitle it Unpacking Our Salvation. But as I began to unpack the text, I realized I had to either make it four sermons or keep you here for 4 hours. I decided on four sermons. 1 Peter, somebody wants to sit around. I don't know if I could preach for four straight hours, guys. 1 Peter chapter 1, what are you doing, son? Got to get my tech person going. What are you doing? Now, try it again. Take two. There. No, you're in the wrong place. Technology's wonderful. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. I'll have to edit this out. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. And it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. You may be seated. Unpacking our salvation. He says, concerning this salvation. And I took time during Sunday school. I got my prop here. Salvation is a gift. How many of you like gifts? I like gifts. Gifts are so great. Gifts are so neat. How many of you like heavy gifts over light gifts? Some of you do. How many of you have discovered that sometimes a lightweight gift is worth more than a heavy gift? Yeah. Yeah, we've learned. But when it comes to salvation, it's a heavy gift. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think sometimes the longer some of us are saved, the more we take it for granted. Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, I've been saved a long time. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Some of us, it's closer to 50 years, 60 years. And I think it does us good. Sometimes we just kind of look at that package and we go, yeah, I got a package of salvation there. Boy, look at me. I got my salvation. But Peter says concerning this salvation, and he begins to talk about it, and I find four things in this text that he unpacks out of our salvation. We're going to take them one a week for the next 4 weeks. The first thing to come out of that as we unpack our salvation is this wonderful thing called grace. We're going to talk about grace this morning. You find a definition up there. It says, grace is the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. Now, that's a mouthful. The free and unmerited favor of God. I want you to understand, when it comes to your salvation and the grace that we've unpacked out of it and that we're going to talk about, there is not one part of your salvation that comes from you. Even the faith that it takes to come to Christ in the first place is not within you, except that God places it there. In and of ourselves, there is nothing good within us. You find people out there say, well, mankind is basically good. No, we're not. We are born with the sin nature. If you don't believe me, you get two little kids together, and you don't have to teach them how to fight. You don't have to teach them how to be selfish. You don't even have to teach a child how to lie. Unfortunately, the moment Adam and Eve opened up the human race to the effect of sin, it became natural for us. You say, well, what about all the good things people do that aren't saved? We can be taught. There are social norms. There are social values. But the human heart, the Bible says above all else, the human heart is wicked and deceitful. So along comes this holy, perfect, sinless, righteous God who cannot stand sin in his presence, who cannot look upon sin in his presence. And yet, Charlie, he looks at us and he also has to balance with that his love. For God so loved. He can't stand the sin, but he loves us. So along comes this thing called grace. Free and unmerited favor of God. And how is it made known and manifested? It's made manifested when salvation comes to sinners and when blessings are given out and bestowed upon those who have accepted the gift of salvation. So I want to talk about grace for a little bit. We sing the songs, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. There's been several songs in the last few years that have come out. Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone, and there's a few others. As a matter of fact, even in our small music library for our praise and worship team, we could actually do an entire praise set with songs based on Amazing Grace. We might do that one of these days. The first thing I want us to do is go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. We need to understand you are saved by grace. I am saved by grace. Nothing else brings us to the point of salvation except grace alone. Here's what Paul says in Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. There's a mouthful in that one verse, and I'm not going to dwell on it long, but something that just kind of caught me. Do you realize that if you try to live in disobedience to God, your spirit man is dead? If you're living in disobedience to God, your body is walking around carrying a corpse inside of it. How's that for a word picture? When you live in disobedience to God's word, your body is walking around carrying within it a spiritual corpse. I don't like that too well. I'm not too much one for corpses. My wife is one of those that when we have a loved one or a dear friend pass away and we go to view the body, she'll touch them. I don't. I just can't bring myself to do it. Even my dear grandparents, when they passed away, I can stand there and view them. I could not bring myself to touch them. And yet, when I begin to walk in disobedience to God, I'm carrying a corpse, a spiritual corpse around inside of me. Verse 3, Ephesians 2. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, look at your neighbor and say, it's all God. It's all God. Get it out of your mind that you did anything to deserve your salvation. Your best works, the Bible says, the greatest best works you can do are as filthy menstrual rags in the sight of God. And that's exactly what the Hebrew means when you go into its deepest meaning. I want you to catch that. Your very best is as disgusting, filthy rags in God's sight. So your salvation, it's all God. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by what?
Grace
you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by... Oh, that was weak. Come on. It was by
grace
you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I want you to look at this passage. We satisfy the cravings. How many of you know that a craving is really not a good thing? Usually the word craving means that we're wanting it intensely that we'll do anything to get it, good, bad, or in between. Okay? Do you know why in the Floyd household, why we do not stock up on chocolate candy? Because the pastor has this craving for chocolate, and if it's there, I don't have enough self-control, and you're right, pastor, we get fatter. When we are walking in the natural carnal mind and in the natural carnal life without obedience to Christ, we have these cravings, and the cravings are always towards those things that God has said are not good for us. Whether it be alcohol, drugs, sex, too much food. Had a conversation with someone earlier this week, and they said, you know, it's bad when people are hooked on drugs, that's bad, but you know what? It's just as bad when you're so hooked on food that you eat everything in sight and you don't take care of yourself. Cravings never are beneficial to us. And yet, even when we run after those things and we try to gratify those cravings in our sinful nature, look what it says. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy. I think one of our prayers needs to be, in fact, those of you that come on Monday night, listen to me. Those of you that are going to be here Monday night in prayer, those of you that are going to be praying maybe at home because you cannot get here, can I tell you one of the things you need to pray is that we, as Clayton Assembly of God Church, for the rest of us, that we will become rich in mercy. Because God wants to send us a lot of people who are out there living disobedient lives. They are trying to gratify the cravings of their sinful nature. And God wants to send them to us, but not for us to judge them, not for us to be critical of them, but that we, like our Father, can become rich in mercy. Because as He extends mercy to us, not judgment, then we can become part of His family and enter that relationship of salvation. Why? Because of His grace. And again, what is grace? We go back. It is the free and unmerited favor of God. Can I tell you, the devil will come around and he'll say to you, he'll come sit on your shoulder and he'll say to you, "You know, you're getting to be a pretty good guy. You know, you deserve what God's giving you." Can I tell you, the minute you begin to think you deserve anything God gives you, that's a dangerous place. You need to head back to the altar or the prayer closet and repent of that thought and say, "God, humble me again and remind me it's all because of your grace, your free and unmerited favor." We need to establish this. And the truth is, I get tired of hearing and seeing on Christian TV and Christian radio and conferences I go to. Can I tell you, the devil is destroying the church and keeping us from our mission because we've got people that too much arrogance is entering in and they begin to think there's something special. Look at your neighbor and say, "You're nothing special. You're just a sinner saved by grace like me." So we establish from Ephesians chapter 2, we are saved by grace. Nothing you and I can do will ever make us good enough to receive that gift of salvation. That gift of salvation is put in your hands only because of the grace of our loving Father. And because the Son loved us so much, He was willing to come to earth and take our place on the cross. Go with me next to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Grace is now being revealed every time Christ appears to people. And the way He appears to them is through your life. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. "So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord." Paul adds, "Do not be ashamed of me, His prisoner. But join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to" what? "A holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time." I want to stop there a moment. I've said it before. I think it bears repeating. Jesus coming to the cross to give His life for us and shed His blood for us was God's plan before Genesis 1:1. It was not like Adam and Eve messed up in the garden and God slapped His forehead and went, "Oh no, what are we going to do now?" Christ coming to the cross to take your place was not plan B. It was God's plan A from the beginning. Before He took that little bit of dust and formed Adam, before He pulled that rib out of Adam and formed Eve, He knew that they were going to blow it. Why don't you think about this? Nothing, say it with me, nothing takes God by surprise. Nothing takes God by surprise. So the grace that we now get to have manifested in our lives when we unpack the gift of salvation, that grace, he says in verse 9, 2 Timothy 1, This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I want you to stop for a moment and think what it must have been like for those who lived before the cross. God called a man, Abraham. Out of him, he created a nation called the Israelites. He had a man, Moses, who led them. He had various ones then from Joshua on down through Saul, then David, then Solomon, then the kings and the prophets and all of these. They understood that God had a standard to live up to, but they did not get to fully enjoy his grace. It was there before the beginning of time, but here Paul tells us in 2 Timothy, it was revealed when Christ came to earth. I don't know about you, but I am so glad I live on this side of the cross under amazing grace. Amen? I am so glad we don't have to do sacrifices. I'm so glad we don't have to travel to Jerusalem 3 times a year for certain feasts. I'm glad we don't have to have the high priest go into the Holy of Holies once a year to have our sins simply shoved back another year. I am so glad that grace has been revealed and we live under amazing grace today where our sins are not just pushed back for a year. They are covered by the blood and forgiven. Amen? Amen? Go with me to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Both books of Timothy and the book of Titus is Paul writing to young pastors, instructing them. It's good reading for all of us. Titus 2, starting in verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. If you take notes or you underline or highlight your Bible, I want you to underline that and I want you to double underline the words, has appeared to all men. The next time someone says to you, what about those people living in the jungles of Africa or South America that maybe haven't heard what's going to happen to them? Go to this verse because God tells us in His Word that His grace has appeared to what? All men. You say, but Pastor, how? You know, I don't have the answer to how. What I can tell you is His grace has appeared to all men. I believe the Word. If God's Word says it, I believe it. And it says His grace has appeared to all men. So what does that mean? What does that have to do with us? Look at the next verse. It. What is it? What is it? The grace of God that brings salvation that has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. It teaches us to say no. You know, Dale, you're right. I don't have a lot of self-control with chocolate. When it's in the house, I'm getting a little better at saying no, but it takes a lot of effort. There are a lot of people out there that will say, but you don't understand, I have this addiction, I have this sin in my life, I have this thing that I enjoy doing even though it's contrary to God's word, and I just can't help myself. But you see, you're telling yourself a lie when you say that, because God's word says that if you have partaken of His grace, it teaches us to say no to all ungodliness. We have trouble with that word though, don't we? How about if we practice it? No. Come on, let me hear you. No. The next time that you're tempted to do something that you know is contrary to God's word, that's contrary to what God has told you to do, that's contrary to the calling God has on your life, you need to look the devil in the eye and you need to be confident in Him and say, because of God's grace, I tell you no. Yeah. Can I tell you, you don't need to be afraid of the devil? A follower of Christ who has truly experienced God's grace and who truly is in salvation does not need to fear the devil. Because God has given us the authority to look him in the eye and to use his name to tell the devil no. Pretty much. German, it's nine, but that's pretty close. Spanish, it's got that little accent over the O, but in most languages, you're right. The word know is pretty much the same. It's not real different. Isn't that nice? God gave us one word. When the devil comes at you, don't cower down in fear. Let me tell you, the only reason you need to fear the devil is if you are not walking under grace and you're not walking in your salvation. The devil comes up and says, why don't you go satisfy this craving just a little bit? No! He's going to rear up. He's going to say, do you know who I am? You tell him, yeah, you're a defeated foe because my heavenly Father sent the Son and he died on the cross and shed his blood and you are defeated, Satan. The answer's no. The grace that brought our salvation teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. But it does more than that. Look at the rest of the verse. It also teaches us to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives when? In this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, which is the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. I have heard people say it, and some of us have probably been guilty of saying it. I'm sure I've said it at one time or another. I said, well, Lord, I'm only human. I can only do so much, and it's all right, because someday I'll be better. But this verse says he gives us his grace, and it teaches us to live godly, upright, holy lives right now. Amen. Right now. Not tomorrow, not a week from now, not a year from now, not for somewhere way down, now. Yeah. In this present age. In this present age. And I just remember we got something to do after the message this morning, don't we? Now. Stop putting off that you're going to be more obedient to God someday. Start now. Amen? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Grace is something we need to have replenished in our lives on a regular basis. It's not a one-time event or occurrence. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. James chapter 4, verse 6a, the first part simply says, but he gives us more grace. I just want to share this with you. Like most blessings and gifts from God, we do not receive the full measure all at once because we couldn't handle it. Therefore, we must be willing to keep going back for a fresh supply. Wouldn't it be really neat, Mike, if you guys could fill up the Teen Challenge vans with gas one time and they'd run forever on that tank of gas? Amen. Wouldn't that be amazing? I tell you what, if you figure out how to make it do that, you come talk to me and we'll go 60-40 and I'll help you market that, okay? Boy, wouldn't it be great? Oh, man. Imagine, Charlie, if your wife could go to Amarillo or not, to San Antonio to get Lizzie and back on one tank of gas, and when she got here, it was still sitting on full and never got near the E.
That would be awesome.
Oh man, wouldn't that be great? But we know that that's not possible, don't we? Then why do some of you think you can go today in obedience to Christ on yesterday's blessings? On yesterday's grace? On yesterday's mercy? It's not that his supply runs out. It's just that your ability to hold it is limited.
Amen.
He can only fill you up with enough mercy, grace, and love to get you through today. You've got to go back for more tomorrow. Why? Because he's limited? No, because we are. I like what it says there in Hebrews. It says there, therefore, let us come confidently. before the throne of grace and ask for more. Don't be timid to go into your Heavenly Father and ask for more. Go boldly, go confidently. If you're going timidly before the throne of grace, that means you've got sin in your life that you need to repent of. You say, Pastor, that's a bold statement. I'm not sure I agree with you. Look, the sin may be doubt, but it's still, there's some kind of sin if you're not going before the throne of grace confidently. Because if you're going in timid and you say, well, I'm not sure if I should, that's doubt. And doubt means you're not believing what God's word says. Confidently, every day you walk up to the throne of grace, Father, I love you, I thank you, please give me more today. Yeah. Now, here's the cool thing about it. When you become consistent in doing that, the amount he can give you will grow because your ability to hold it will expand. It will never be limitless, but it can become greater. And as you begin to open up and become able to hold more of his grace and mercy, this is what's neat. You get to then be able to actually exhibit that grace and mercy in greater measure to people around you. Because let's face it, there are going to be people that come into our lives that we are the only Bible and we are the only Jesus they're going to see for a while. There are people out there that every one of us will encounter that you will not get them to pick up a Bible. You will not get them to walk in the doors of this church for a long time. But you can show them and share with them the grace and mercy that God fills you with each day. And after a while, they'll begin to understand. And slowly, they will begin to come into a relationship with Christ. And then we'll get them into the Word. Then we'll get them into the church family. But you need to be asking God daily for more grace, more mercy, more love, so that it can flow through you to those that you encounter and that you influence. Amen. And finally, grace is so important. Go to Revelation 22, 21. I'll help you. That's the last verse in the Bible. The absolute last verse. Look how God had his written word end for us. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. In the beginning, God. Genesis 1:1. Say it with me. In the beginning, God. And it ends. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. What do we find between in the beginning God and this verse? We find the story of God's pursuit of sinful man so that he can bestow upon us, through his grace, the gift of salvation. Need that one more time? Between in the beginning God and the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people, amen, what we find is the story of God's pursuit of sinful man so that he can bring him his grace and the gift of salvation. Amen? Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Do you have a plaque to give out today? Who's Come here. Brother Christopher, stop the recording. The recording. No, the live is fine. Just stop the recording.